Good afternoon. From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. 3 months after a trial against a former Juneau chiropractor accused of sexual assault ended in mistrial, the new defense team is asking for more time to review the case before a second trial. 14 former patients accused Jeffrey Foltz of sexual assault under the guise of medical care. They say the incidents took place during medical appointments between 2014 and 2020, while he was employed at Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium in Juneau. In September, his trial ended in a hung jury on 14 counts of felony sexual assault and 2 not guilty counts. One of the 14 counts has since also been dismissed. The state is attempting to retry the remaining charges that are eligible to be considered again. The court assigned Foltz a public defender in October, Juneau's Nico Ambrose. Private attorney James Christie represented Foltz for the last 2 years and through the trial this summer. Ambrose appeared in court Wednesday for the first time since taking over Foltz's representation. Ambrose requested the next hearing date to be in April, which will mark 5 years since Foltz's initial arrest.
There are just so many things in this case that need to be dealt with before we can say we're ready for trial.
Ambrose says he has to review trial proceedings, which lasted 6 weeks this summer, and hasn't yet received transcripts from the trial. Ambrose is Foltz's third defense attorney since his 2021 arrest. Earlier this year, the Alaska Supreme Court issued a ruling that would limit delays in old cases. And while this case falls into that window, Ambrose says he doesn't think it was written with a case like this in mind.
This case has not sat around for 5 years waiting to go to trial. It has gone to trial.
State Prosecutor Kristen Tendy disagrees with scheduling the next hearing so far out and says the case has taken years, regardless of the recent trial. Some of the alleged crimes happened more than a decade ago.
We have seen how this case can drag out and can be dragged out.
Tendy says the court needs to set a new trial date and should schedule a hearing in February. Ambrose says having hearings sooner than April, 6 months after he was assigned to the case, would be a waste of the court's time. Judge Larry Wolford scheduled the next hearing for this case on February 11th at 11:30 a.m. This weekend, hundreds of Juneau residents braved the heavy snowfall and icy roads to make their way to a fight night downtown. Despite the blood spilled, organizers of the 40th AK Beatdown say the event is family-friendly and promotes community and exercise, especially during the cold and dark winter months. KTOO's Clarice Larson was there and has a story.
Many retirees tend to spend their leisure time volunteering, reading books, or playing pickleball. But 69-year-old Jackhammer Duckworth spent his Saturday evening in a boxing ring at Elizabeth Perachevich Hall, facing an opponent half his age.
Fighting out of the blue corner, we have a man fighting out of Ketchikan, Alaska, with a record of 10-3-0. Let's give it up for Jack Duckworth!
Duckworth was the oldest of 22 male and female boxers and MMA fighters between ages 16 and 69 who participated in the AK Beatdown's 40th fight night in Juneau on Saturday, like Meg Thrilla from Manila Miranda, William the Wolfman Atlas, and Jamie the Flatliner Lechester. AK Beatdown is a Juneau-based fighting league that hosts family-friendly fight nights that feature local and Alaska fighters. Duckworth ultimately got knocked down in the second round, but he said he still had fun.
I love it. I started doing taekwondo at 25, so I've been teaching for all these years and doing the boxing. I totally support it.
And he wasn't the only Duckworth fighting. His son and grandson were also in the ring that night. The family traveled from Ketchikan to partake in the event. He says fighting is the Duckworth way.
Well, that's why I'm doing it, just so we could all be on the same card.
Professional fight nights like these have taken place in Juneau since at least the late 90s under different organizers. Cindy Isaac is the current owner of AK Beatdown. The show took a 5-year hiatus, but returned last year. Now Isaac says it's back and better than ever.
It's definitely got a fan base. It's had the same following that comes all the time. It's just all around a healthy sport. I think the community loves UFC, and so it's just kind of carried through.
Saturday night's show was completely sold out of its more than 450 tickets. In just one day, Isaac's crew transformed Elizabeth Perachevich Hall from an empty ballroom into a fighting arena. Dozens of tables and hundreds of chairs surrounded a professional fighting ring in the center of the room.
Yeah, no, we really try to be super professional. We have medics here. We have, you know, trained corner coaches. Our judges have been the same judges from day one, so it's very consistent. We have the referees.
Spectator Brian McFadden sat at one of the tables. He fought in previous fight nights, but on Saturday, he was there to celebrate his 34th birthday alongside his children and family.
This is so far my favorite beatdown since I don't have to fight in it, and I just get to enjoy the livelihood and the energy.
McFadden says the event offers something for fighters to work and train for in Juneau, especially during cold winters.
Yeah, I think it's a great asset to the fighting community. It gives people in the community the ability to meet up every few months and do this for real.
Isaac, the event organizer, says more events are planned for next year. She's excited to see the sport continue to expand in Juneau. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And the federal government's official name for North America's tallest peak is Mount McKinley. At a U.S. Senate hearing yesterday, Alaska's senior senator argued that it shouldn't be. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
President Trump changed the mountain's name on day one of his second term with an executive order entitled Restoring Names That Honor American Greatness. But Senator Lisa Murkowski is trying to re-restore a much older name.
We have called it this mountain, Denali, in Alaska for decades, generations. The Koyukon Athabascan have called it, referred to it as Denali for millennia.
Murkowski has sponsored a bill that would nullify Trump's executive order as it applies to the mountain and change the official name back to Denali, often translated as the Great One. At the hearing, she said Alaskans feel strongly about it.
This is about respecting the original stewards of the land who gave this fitting name.
President William McKinley has no particular connection to Alaska and never visited. A prospector named the mountain for him, and it stuck for the rest of the 20th century, despite a petition from the state of Alaska in the 1970s in favor of Denali. The Alaska delegation to Congress sponsored Denali bills year after year, but the delegation from McKinley's home state, Ohio, blocked them. President Obama finally stepped in and ordered the name changed in 2015. That held for a decade until Trump changed it back. Murkowski says her Denali bill is not meant to diminish President McKinley or his contributions to the country. And she says he won't go unhonored.
You've got the McKinley National Memorial, the National McKinley Birthplace Memorial, the McKinley Presidential Library and Museum. You've got statues in Ohio, Hawaii, Illinois, among others. So this is nothing against our former president.
An Interior Department witness at the hearing said the administration opposes the name restoration because it conflicts with Trump's executive order on the mountain's name. Senator Dan Sullivan co-sponsored Murkowski's bill, as did three Democratic senators. It could be negotiated into a package of bills containing the home state priorities of other senators. But if Trump insists on keeping the name McKinley, it's not clear a sufficient number of Republicans in Congress would cross him. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And it's that time of year. Time for snow, holiday shopping, and of course, end-of-year top 10 lists. Last week, Spotify, Apple Music, and other music apps gave users their top songs, artists, and genres of the year. That got Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone wondering, what did state lawmakers have on their playlist this year?
For some people, maybe a lot of people, music is one of those things that, you know, helps you get in touch with what you're feeling. At least that's what Democratic Anchorage State Representative Genevieve Mina says she got out of the more than 19,000 minutes she spent listening to Spotify this year.
I guess my relationship with music is being able to just tap into emotions that I love to feel and to process.
At the top of Mina's list was the song Juno by Claro, a little indie pop with some R&B undertones. She says she loves the way the song swells in the middle.
I definitely put that album on repeat a lot at the beginning of the year. And I mean, all of the songs are just like, they're very romantic, they're very lovey-dovey. It's just like a good, easy listening album.
And looking back at some of her top songs of the year, she says a theme emerged.
I feel like it's a bit of I'm about to turn 30, feminine angst and ennui. So you have your Adrian Lenker, you have your Claro, you've got like the sad Charlie XCX like introspective song on her Brad album.
I think about it all the time, that I might run out of time, but I finally met my baby. Baby might be mine.
There isn't quite so much feminine angst in ennui and Toke Republican Senator Mike Kroc's Spotify Wrapped. Instead, what Spotify calls honky-tonk and southern rock were at the top of the list. Kroc says he listens to all kinds of music, but he consistently returns to some familiar favorites.
There's a lot of like Eagles' greatest hits, Bob Seger's greatest hits.
He says the music he listened to the most this year calls back fond memories, like time at the family cabin after a long day tending traps.
One of my girls would go out, you know, when they were young, we'd have like four cassette tapes. Like the Eagles' greatest hits was one, and Alabama was one. My life, oh, so right.
My Dixieland delight. But his top song of the year was something a little grungier, a Chris Cornell cover of the song Nothing Compares to You. There's nothing compared, nothing compared to you. He says there's something comforting about the classics.
I guess it's kind of soothing in a way to know, you know, security of what you used to listen to all the time.
There is a bit of that in Fairbanks Democratic Representative Ashley Carrick's playlist. There are some familiar millennial anthems, you know, some Neon Trees, a little Florence and the Machine, Lady Gaga, Kesha, but also some newer songs like Yes, I'm a Mess by the band AJR. Cheers to the front end, cheers to the back end, cheers to the 2010s. I get in my guts when the sun comes up, but I like myself like this. I like myself like this.
There's just like this note of whimsy in these otherwise pretty like serious kind of power you up kind of songs.
Perfect, she says, for going to the gym, walking into work, just a great way to start the day. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And it's currently 6 degrees and clear this afternoon in Juneau. Tomorrow, we're looking at more sunshine with a high of 10 degrees. We may see some snow on Saturday. This is KTOO.